Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money, and we're talking politics, scandal, opportunity, competitiveness, and pipelines, and we're going to get to pipelines in a minute. I want to read you something, Faisal, because we had the CEO of the Bank of Nova Scotia was speaking last week.
Okay.
In Calgary.
At the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Chamber of Commerce, Calgary, yep. Chamber of Commerce. And he's warning all Canadians will, his words, pay a price as the country struggles to develop pipelines and other crucial infrastructure for the energy sector. He went on to say, as investment, I'm quoting here, as investment dollars shift to other jurisdictions and countries, and Canadian competitiveness lags, we all pay a price. Now, I think we're acutely aware of that in Alberta. Not sure the rest of the country seems to be aware of this. We have seen some very weak economic data, in part because of exports, in part those exports are influenced by oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, this is a national, we've got a national, I think we have a national problem on our hands. And I don't think that there's been a tremendous amount of leadership in order to create competitiveness, diversification, diversity in the economy.
Well, the federal government, Dave, has not called this a national emergency.
No, I know. I know.
They've not called this a national emergency. And that's why I'm glad we have, you know, the Honorable Michelle Rempel, the MP from Calgary Nose Hill, on with us. Michelle, you know, the pipeline issue, here's my take. In countries like the United States or other major Western nations, democratic nations, when they have an industry that they believe in, they put their chips in that industry. The U.S. have done that with technology. The U.S. has done that from a government, from a national government support on healthcare. Those healthcare companies, pharma companies, right or wrong, have made a lot of big influence in the world. Here in Canada, we really don't build stuff that the world wants. What we do have is natural resources that the world could use. And we have a big problem in this country, regardless of party. No one's put all their eggs or all their chips on the natural resource sector. What's your take on how are we going to solve this pipeline issue? Because we need to solve it. And what do we do if we're not going to get this pipeline thing issue figured out? What do we need to do to bring more different types of industries and businesses into this country where we become the product of choice, not the ramification of other countries?
Well, prior to entering politics, my background was in technology commercialization. I did a lot of work commercializing and helping to develop early stage research at a couple major Canadian institutions. So I was involved in this conversation prior to entering politics. And, you know, what's always struck me is that when we talk about economic diversification, there's this, I think that there's a sense that somehow the government can just, you know, find a magical pool of cash and then grant its way to the economy to diversification. And in reality, right. That's not right. How things work. So I think we need to start looking at Canada's place in the world from an economic perspective a little bit differently when we're talking about diversification. So first of all, we have to be an attractive jurisdiction to do business. And what does that mean? We have to have, you know, a talented and diverse labor supply that stays in Canada. That's a problem in Alberta right now, certainly as we see people leave because of the downturn in the economy. So how do you diversify the economy when our talent is leaving? So immigration policy and retention factors into that. Then we have to be an attractive place to do business. That means, you know, especially when we're looking comparatively at the U.S., what is our taxation rate? What's the complexity around regulation? What is the political stability when it comes to review of major progress? Even intra-provincial trade is a problem in Canada right now, right? Those are all the macro-level issues that this government has sort of not only just turned their focus away from, but have favored more interventionist policy in terms of, you know, we see these billion-dollar programs coming out of the industry department, like the quote-unquote supercluster program. I've always been skeptical of these programs, like having lived in that ecosystem before. You know, you see a lot of, you know, well-intentioned consultants and stuff getting long-term contracts, but does it actually create business growth over time? You know, I think one of the biggest determinants to investment and economic diversification happened last year when the federal government under Trudeau announced the small business tax changes. I mean, that put a chill on small business investment and diversification. And lastly, I'll just close quickly by saying, I don't understand why we can't develop the energy sector. A lot of people go into this conversation around diversification like somehow the energy sector is a bad thing that we should shy away from. Canada's energy sector develops carbon in a responsible, environmentally sustainable way, more so than other jurisdictions. We should be promoting that. And even if we're looking at the transition to a carbon economy, we still need carbon right now. So how do we attract that capital, that investment, that labor, that talent into Canada so it becomes a receptor sink or a receptor capacity to build other industries around us, like even technology adoption, right? You can't adopt technology if we don't have an industry to adopt into. So that to me is where the conversation needs to be, rather than just like, okay, well, we need another $100 million fund. That when a government starts measuring success on the economy by the amount of tax dollars spent, as opposed to the number of jobs created, we have a problem. And that's what you see both with the NDP government in Alberta and the federal government under Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, well, we need to get a culture, across the country that allows people to get things done. You know, again, I'm going to go back to what Brian Porter said in his speech last week. One of the things he lamented about in the speech was Canada's inability to say yes. And Michelle, you're talking about that from a regulatory environment. I mean, how much foreign capital have we seen leave our province? Because it can go anywhere. And from an oil and gas, it's global from an oil and gas perspective. And if it's too difficult to get to yes under our regulatory environment, then there's other places it can go, right?
It will go.
It has gone, right? So we've seen that.
But I think our government federally and to some degree provincially have already said yes. Yes to, we don't want to be in the energy game anymore.
It's to what'd you say yes to?
Correct. And Barack Obama was here.
Yep. I was just about to say that. Yeah, we saw him speak.
And he made a comment that caught my attention. And the way he said it, he got an applause for it. And what he basically said
from
was...
From some, yeah.
What he basically said was, like it or not, things are changing.
Right.
And if you're driving your pickup truck, and I think he should have been warned that a lot of people drive pickup trucks here in the city, that you have to be prepared that things are going to change and alternative energy or different ways of getting power are on its way.
Right.
So either fit in or not, it's going to happen. And he got an applause for that. And what I think people didn't realize is this whole province is primarily based upon this country has a lot of dependency on us being an exporter of energy.
Right. And which the world still needs, he said. The world still needs it. We can do it
now.
Responsibly. Correct. We have to diversify, right? But again, we need some leadership. Correct. We need a plan into the future.
We need
diversify.
Leadership and vision, not only to get the energy working now, but also the concept of what's going to happen 25 years from now. And Those people who are going to be displaced, Dave. And Michelle, there are going to be a lot of people. If this energy change happens to alternative fuels and we start to adjust over time, because we have no choice, it's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be kicked out of a job. Same with those coal plant workers who will be kicked out of a job. How do we retrain those people? That's where you're going to have a lot of anxiety against it.
I'm going to say whoa, whoa, whoa for a second here.
Okay.
First of all, Barack Obama gets paid a lot and has a lot of money to come and give a very sort of, I'm just going to say, elitist opinion on carbon usage.
Right.
So number one, the reality is if you look at the demand modeling over the next 20 years, global demand modeling for carbon, even when you factor in externalities of projected adoption of like electric cars and it doesn't materially change. So I think, when somebody comes in and says this is going to change tomorrow, you actually have to look at the event horizon. And I haven't seen a lot of data that shows that global demand, especially in emerging economies, although I'm not sure you'd call it emerging anymore, like big economies like China, India, they're still carbon intensive. So there's a need for energy. So the first question is, how do we develop carbon, which frankly is still, any scientist will talk to you, it's the most efficient way of getting energy as a carbon molecule, right? How do we do that in an environmentally responsible way? And that's where Alberta and Canada has a huge role to play in the global demand. So there's that. So we can't, sort of over, hyperbole can't lead to panic and government intervention that isn't required. Now, should we be transitioning? Okay, let's have that conversation. But that, again, going back to what I just said, why in Alberta can't we be using the natural resources and the technology that we've been blessed with that allows us to develop carbon in a responsible way to be part of that conversation. So I just, absolutely, I kind of reject that. The last thing I'm going to say is, you know, it's just such a rich, you know, elitist position to have. I mean, Canada already has 75% of our electricity production from renewable sources or non-emitting sources. Compare that to the U.S. Barack Obama did not do much to change his country's profile. A lot of the conversation around carbon emissions has not been around binding contracts on the United States, China, India. So, you know, and frankly, the last thing is trade. I mean, we're talking about all this transition and what happens for Canadian workers. Well, you had Justin Trudeau a couple of years ago going out trying to start a free trade agreement with China. And I mean, purchasing goods from China, which has one of the biggest emissions intensiveness in the world, I mean, on a free tariff-free trade basis, what?
Yep.
So I'm just saying, like, whoa, everybody sort of launches up the, you know, sort of conspiracy spiral when we have to pull it back, look at data, and then come up with public policy on a 20 to 30 year term, rather than assuming that everybody's going to be displaced. There's only one reason energy sector workers have been displaced in Alberta, and that's because of poor government policy under Justin Trudeau. And I just reject that approach.
Well, keep up the work in Ottawa for us, Michelle. You're doing a good job representing Calgary Nose Hill, and I appreciate your time and your thoughts and your input today.
Thanks for the conversation.
Been joined by the Honourable Michelle Rempel, PC, MP of Calgary Nose Hill. Faisal, we've got a seminar to talk about. Now, like it or not, politics plays a role in Canada, the experience that we have, but we, you know, we do have the ability to talk about investing money outside of Canada, diversifying properly, so on and so forth. And we're going to talk about all of those issues at our upcoming seminar.
Yep, on Tuesday, March 26th, 8:30 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can go online to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You may be shocked to find out how many sources of income you could potentially have in retirement and the various taxation on that. Tune in at the next segment. We're going to discuss all of that and more. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.